Hello, this is Burke Midget with The Word Works, a podcast outreach of In Christ Ministries. By the way, The Word Works, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you decided to join us today for this edition of The Word Works. We're continuing our conversation with Paul Withrow, my brother-in-law. We're on location out of the studio, so we've heard airplanes and trucks and everything else going on. We're near a golf course, and I heard some guys playing golf out there and must have done a great shot because they started hollering. So I'm not sure you're picking up any of this on as you're listening. But we want to move on into what Paul began talking about last time is with Jehoshaphat and those the unconventional way that warfare was fought. So Paul, go ahead and pick up and with wherever you want to in that area.
Okay. Well, we know if we're familiar with the story, you know, the normal way of doing battle is, you know, you send your soldiers out. Well, God told him to send the singers out in front of the soldiers, which was contrary. I don't know that there was another time in history that anybody had ever done that. Well, you know that amazed the other armies, but of course, God's side won the battle. Well, that is so contrary to normal thinking that we can use that as an example of God speaking to Jehoshaphat, telling him how to do it, him being obedient. And he must have believed he was hearing the voice of God to do that because it made no sense. So he had to have faith to believe, I'm going to obey God and we'll have success. So there had to be a connection of his faith believing that what he was hearing, he knew. He didn't think or hope. He knew it was God. You know, and in this, John says, we know that we have eternal life. Okay, that word know is much more powerful than hope. No is God said it, I believe it, that ends it.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to. Now, how do we do that in nanoseconds of decision making? How is it that we can be that sure in making a decision about how to handle a situation that's right in front of us? You know, a person insults you. How do you do that? You know, how do you take the singers out when you're when 99% of everything within you is going to say of your carnal? Is going to create a carnal response to somebody. Somebody did evil. And no matter how sweet we are, we know that because of all these influences that we're under every day, we may respond in a bad way and God won't get the glory out of it. So what we have to do is realize within us, we don't have that power and we can't accumulate that power. When I was talking about the conduit versus the reservoir, the enemy will defeat us because we think we have to possess some kind of power. No, what we have to do is be possessed by some kind of power.
Amen.
So what we are is a willing, submitted vessel to God, desiring that he make use of us. So many times what we feel is we are inactive because we don't, in other words, we're in a waiting situation. I'll just tell you this real quick. I wondered one time what holiness was, and I was praying, and I said, Lord, I hear everything. You know, I'd go to seminars, I'd go to teaching, I'd read books, and I'd pray, and see, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Well, I want to see the Lord, so I want to be holy, right? How do you get there? Well, finally, the Lord just said, well, in the temple, that there were some goblets or cups that were only used once a year, and they were put up on a shelf. When they're used, they're wiped clean, they're put up on the shelf, and they sit there for an entire year until the ceremony that the priest needs, it pulls it down, uses it, then he cleans it, puts it back. He said, now that cup is holy because it was where it needed to be when it was time for the priest to use it. It was capable of doing what the priest needed it to do. Then he cleaned it, put it back. And God was completely content and happy with that goblet because it was where it needed to be when he needed it. And it was available and it was capable. Of course, he told him how to build it to start with, right? So he told me, he said, that's holiness. It's not about performance. It's about availability.
Amen.
Because he filled it with what it needed to be full of or whatever. Well, that allows us to just relax and say, okay, so it's not about my ability. It's about, do I believe God or not? It's very simple. It's very simple. And now how it is a process that we have, the battle that we have is with the outside voices and outside influences that are competing with what we're hearing. So having the written word is so important that we bathe our mind in it, sort of like the fasting, that we're prepared that when God speaks, we can discern whether that is his voice or not. Now, by hanging out with him and praying and everything and listening to what he's saying, but sometimes in the comfort of just taking time, when you deliberately say, I'm going to fast and pray and study, okay, it's almost like just the gates open and it's a river and it is so enjoyable and we just love it so much and we get so close and everything. And then we go out into the world and then it just seems like that the floodgate from the devil comes to wash us away. And it's like we're struggling to hear anything from God because we're so much under every other voice. That's what we're conditioned for, is in those moments is when we can still hear, like he told Jehoshaphat, send the singers out. I mean, they were fixing to go into battle and people were going to die. His friends were going to die.
Yeah.
But yet God said, do it this way. Well, you can imagine, what if one of his children was one of the singers? I mean, this was a very hard choice for him to make. Well, see, that's the way we have to understand that this is the way it works. It's, we got to know where the source is. Where is it coming from? And the more our mind is renewed, the more that we can in those moments discern that. But it's not. The action that we take is based on his resources and his power. That is really, really important that we get that. That's part of the renewing of the mind, is to get our eyes off of ourselves and what we're capable of. All we're supposed to do, see, we're disciples of Jesus. Well, what did disciples do? They didn't have anything that he needed, but he had everything they needed. So they just decided, we're going to walk away from ourselves and make ourselves available to him. Now, what he does with us is entirely up to him. So the battle is really saying, I'm going to keep myself centered in Christ and not be drawn away by all these distractions that want to pull me back. I've just got to keep myself, just like that cup, I got to keep myself centered in him and available to him and walking with an ear to hear. You know, because he says, my sheep hear my voice and they won't follow another. Well, that comes through conditioning. We don't start out that way. Well, how do we do that? We get used to hearing him. When I was in the Army, I'll just tell you this real quick. When I was in the Army, they took us out on a parade field. So there were probably 10 groups. And all the drill sergeants are hollering at the same time, speaking commands. And the wind's blowing. So you've got all these voices. And you have to. This wasn't at the very beginning, but we've heard his voice and his enunciation of words so well that we could pick out our drill sergeant's voice in all that confusion and march correctly. Because if you don't march right, you bump into the guys around you, and then it's just a total chaos. But if you hear his voice in the wind blowing and everybody else, all the other drill sergeants screaming, and they're not just giving commands, they are screaming at times. So you're able to discern and you hear your drill sergeant's voice and you do what he says, and there's no chaos and you're not bumping into each other. So it's like that when everything starts hitting the fan that we can hear.
Yeah.
If we're conditioned that way, we're calm, we're confident, we're relaxed, and people around us can see that. And they wonder, how can you maintain this relaxation? And you're like, well, I hear his voice. I do what he says. I meet with success. I've done this 100 times. He's capable. So all I need to do is just hear what he says and do it. And if we are able to maintain that on a regular basis, imagine the difference in our witness before people when they say, wow, that was amazing. I say, yeah, Jesus is cool. He's cool, isn't he? Well, I thought you did that. Nah, man, I can tell you, I'm not capable of that, but my King is.
Amen.
You know, so it's a different world of walking.
Well, Paul, that was just an excellent example. I've never been in the armed forces, but I can picture that. And I think everyone listening can picture that example. And apply it, that we need to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, and a stranger's voice we should not and cannot follow if we're going to walk in victory and see him flow through us. Let's move on into even more personal understanding of mind renewal. And you were just sharing with me about the love walk. How does that apply?
Well, even in religious circles, we if we're not careful, we're gonna base our life on performance, and we have to just be honest. I mean, if you have a pastor search committee, what are they looking for? And I'm not judging them. I'm just saying that the standards that we use are based on, I mean, anybody's resume. It's a sort of a resume kind of thing. Well, knowing that, we judge ourselves that way, based on a resume. Okay, so I'm like, okay, well, what's the Lord looking for? You know, because all of us, we want to do for God. So what's he looking for? Well, he'll continually say, you know, if you love God and love your neighbor, you fulfill all the law and the prophet. So he put it in perspective, but we washed over that instead of stopping there and creating that to be an anchor or a cornerstone of everything that we believe as New Testament disciples. He meant that to be everything comes from that. So loving God and loving my neighbor. Well, he said, if you love me, you'll obey me. So how do I obey him? Well, I got to be available all the time, 24/7, to do whatever he wants, no matter how that interrupts what I think of as my life. And honestly, no matter, I have to get to the point where that can interrupt other people's lives, because if he's telling me to do that, I'm going to have to put whatever they want on hold to do what he wants, because he's first priority. But I also know that he'll work it all out. He understands the difficulties he puts me in, and he has a solution. So I just got to trust him. I can't say, how am I going to get all this done? I should say, well, he knows everything I got to get done, and he's telling me to do this, so he has a plan for all these other complicated situations.
And what may look like a difficulty to us is not to him at all.
Exactly. And every day he's demonstrating that to me. You know, because we interact with people every day, so we're not an island to ourselves. Any change that we make in what other people expect us to do is going to cause difficulties for them.
Mm-hmm.
So in that, loving people is his greatest desire. So we have to take that as the foundation. So through the renewing of our mind, we got to know, obey God. I mean, if you love God, you'll obey him. So how do you love people? Well, that is his number one motivation, because that has to override everything. And in religious circles, sometimes we have all kinds of agendas, and the loving of people, not intentionally do we do this.
Right.
But because we're driven by all these other things, we're just like the world. Mm. You know, we got to have, everything's got to be perfect before we open the doors. The lighting, the sound, the seating, everybody's trained.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows how to do their job before you open the doors. Well, what does that sound like? You know, it just sounds a little carnal, you know.
Like a business.
But he's like, okay, is everybody prepared to love? Is everybody ready? Forget the sound. Forget the everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm saying this is what he's saying to us. Forget all that. What I want to know is, are you prepared to hear my voice so that when you bump into this person, my love for them is going to flow through you, and is that your number one priority at this moment right now? And if I say yes, he says, okay, we're on the same sheet of music. The rest of it will be okay. Don't worry about the rest of it. I'll take care of it. Now, that doesn't mean that we're incompetent or anything. That's
right.
Not what I'm saying. It's about priority. I got to have my priority in line with his priority. Well, through the renewing of the mind, it's taken me years to get to the point that I understand loving God and loving my neighbor is the most important foundational understanding. And in reality, not just in theory, because in reality, all of a sudden, you'll find that your circle of friends may get very small. And the ones that you spend the most time with, I mean, he did it with 12.
Yeah.
One of them was a devil.
Yeah.
But he loved them nonetheless.
Yeah.
So our circle of those that we really, really spend time with and really have love relationships with them may be just a few people. But that's all he expects. But as you touch the people in a bigger circle, you're going to love them too, but not like you will that small circle. So you may end up spending a tremendous amount of time with just a few people. And then they'll move on, and then you'll spend time with a few other people for a long time, maybe.
Wow. Mind renewal, we're saying, we've been talking about equals spirit dominion, but spirit dominion is walking in love. It's loving the unlovely. And Paul's done that in his life. I've seen that. He's been a great inspiration for me and his sister, my wife, Joanne. Same thing. I've just stood back and watched and said, okay, if they can love, I can love. And it's been such an encouragement. Paul, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate you sharing some thoughts on mind renewal. I may go to some other folks and get them to share as well, because this has just been enlightening. And Thank you, thank you. God, I believe, has showed us some truths from a different perspective that we've needed. Praise God. Thanks for joining us today for The Word Works, a podcast outreach of In Christ Ministries. Please consider subscribing to receive our latest podcasts. For more information about this ministry and additional resources, please visit us at bertandjoe.com. That's BERTANDJO.com. And remember, the Word works.